Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We worship on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. We would love to have you join us at 9 a.m. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website. Our website is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, join us, worship, chat, offer up prayers, grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, go to the Seed Christian Fellowship YouTube channel and watch the complete worship or the weekly messages. Our hope, our prayer is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit sowing seeds of faith. And I say that you're welcome. I'm just so happy. I'm just so blessed. I'm excited to share God's word. At the Seed, it's our hope and prayer that we all come to know this love of God. We sit at the brink of a new year. The canvas of this year is clean. And we can allow the Holy Spirit to help us to go in His power and sow seeds of faith, hope, and love. I sat down and I spent some time seeking God's voice for the Seed. I try and plan my preaching calendar 6 months ahead. To be boldly honest with you, I'm extremely excited to begin this little sermon series. I've titled it Emmanuel, God with Us, or just short, God with Us. God is with us. As I was working on my Advent series this past Christmas season, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart, with all that we've been going through, to stop and reflect on three little words, God with us. Repeat it after me, God with us. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. This pronoun is plural. It includes you and me, a sign. The virgin will be with a child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. The prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled when the angel Gabriel showed up to Joseph and told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Listen again to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you hear those three little words? God with us, all wrapped up in a little Hebrew name, Emmanuel. Maybe a good so what question before we even dig into our message for this week. Do you believe those three little words? God with us. Do you believe those three little words? How do those three little words affect your life? How do those three little words change your life? How do those three little words, God with us, transform whatever situation you're facing? Like everyone else, I've been waiting and watching all that has been happening in our world with all the things that are going on with wars and rumors of wars. These times have been tumultuous, turbulent, trying, and terribly frightening. There seems to be so much confusion and chaos. Friends and family members getting sick. Businesses gets closed or schools shut down. People, you know, for a while, churches were online. There's just so many things going on. Families isolated. It's just, do you believe these three little words, God with us? How do those three words affect your life? There's a story told of two missionaries who were captured and imprisoned in the same cell, but forbidden to speak to each other. Christmas came. One of the missionaries, shivering and silent, sat on the floor covered with hay. As he was playing with bits of hay around him, he thought that he discovered a silent way of communicating with his friend. He spelled out the word Emmanuel. As soon as his friend saw the word, immediately he lit up with joy. They were captives, but they both believed that God was with them and that the ultimate triumph would be theirs. Well, it's my prayer that as we face this next year, we will find a variety of ways of showing to others that God is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. As I prayed over my sermon series for this year, the Holy Spirit told me to encourage you with three words, God with us, God with us. And over the next few months, as we make our way to Easter, I've been impressed to share some famous stories in the Bible where God showed up. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. God was with Daniel in a lion's den. God was with David when he faced a giant called Goliath. God was with Elijah when he was confronted by the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. God was with Elisha when he raised the dead son of the Shunammite and filled the widow's olive oil jar to overflowing. God was with Jonah in the belly of the big fish. Well, I could go on. God was with Samson, Gideon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets. Do you believe those three little words, God with us? How do those three words affect your life? How do those three words transform your life? During Lent, we're going to journey with Jesus to the cross and resurrection of Easter by looking at some of the amazing miracles Jesus performed. Jesus, the one who saves, Emmanuel, God with us, gave sight to Bartimaeus. Jesus healed a paralytic. God with us, Jesus calms the storms. God with us, Jesus feeds 5,000. God with us, Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. God with us, Jesus heals 10 lepers. God with us, Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb after being dead for 4 days. Pick up your Bible. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a man in the church who's giving away one-year Bibles, readings. We would love to send you a Bible. I know that many of us have been struggling with all that's been going on. I love what old Brother Lawrence wrote in his famous little book called Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote these famous words. Let me read them, and I'll read them slowly. He said, "We cannot avoid the dangers and the rifts of which this life is full without the real and constant help of God. Let us ask Him for it without ceasing. But how can we ask Him without being with Him? And how can we be with Him without often thinking of Him? And how can we often think of Him without forming a holy habit of doing so?" That's deep. Take a deep breath. Over the next few weeks, we'll spend some time in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Then we'll jump into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then after that, we'll find ourselves in the lion's den with Daniel. Maybe you feel like you have been in a fiery furnace. Maybe you feel like you're in a lion's den with all the things that you're facing. I don't know your struggles. Each week I pray before I write messages. I pray for you. I close my eyes and envision you, and I ask God's heart for you. I don't know your trials. I don't know your tribulations. I don't know your despair or depression or despondency. But God knows you. God knows where you're at. My heart breaks for you because I want you to know that God with us. I'd like to spend just a few minutes to set the stage for the next 2 weeks with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. We need to know at least the context for a minute. By way of the historical background, it's helpful to know that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, attacked the southern Jewish kingdom of Judah 3 times, beginning in 605 BC, a little more than 100 years after the northern kingdom of Israel had fallen to the Assyrians. The second invasion occurred about 597 BC when Jehoiakim, son of the king of Judah, mentioned in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, was compelled to surrender Jerusalem and go into captivity with many of the Jewish leaders, including the royal family, the commanders of the army, craftsmen, and even some of the priests like Ezekiel. The third invasion was the one we remember most. It took place in about 586 BC when Jerusalem was completely destroyed and the people of the land were deported to Babylon. Well, a little side note is that the prophet Jeremiah was in Jerusalem at the time of its final destruction of the city. So consider these points to ponder. One, Daniel was a godly man sent to live in ungodly Babylon at a time when God's blessings upon the Jewish nation seem to have been withdrawn or at least postponed. This means that his position was much like that of believers trying to live, well, in our secular society today. Okay, that's your first point. Number two, the Babylon of Daniel's day was a type of all kingdoms that do not acknowledge God or think that they can dispense with God. This description of Babylon in the book of Daniel, well, it's a description of most of the world in our time, including so-called, maybe even some Christians in America. Three, Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego, were under tremendous pressure to conform. That is, their religion was tolerated, even respected, as long as they did not allow it to intrude into public life, well, or rock the boat. And maybe that's our situation also. We can practice our religion so long as it's not in the schools or at work or in any public place. We must keep it, well, on the reservation. Nevertheless, in spite of all these things, God told Daniel that it is he, God, who is in control of history, and that his purposes are being accomplished even in the overthrow and captivity of his people. Moreover, in the end, God will establish a kingdom that will endure forever. The destiny of the people of God is wrapped up in the eternal kingdom. The principal theological emphasis in the book of Daniel is the absolute sovereignty of Yahweh, the God of Israel. Let us just think about that for a moment. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayers, and we'll be praying for you. There's people that write prayer concerns. That some of them email them to me, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We've been praying for a man by the name of Robert. He's battling cancer. We pray for God's healing hand to be upon him. Go to our website and let our team pray for you. Again, I'm going to repeat this. The principal theological emphasis in Daniel is the absolute sovereignty of Yahweh, the God of Israel. At a time when it seemed to all the world that his cause was lost and the gods of the heathens had triumphed, causing his temple to be burned to the ground, it pleased the Lord strikingly and unmistakably to display his omnipotence. The theme running through the whole book is that the fortunes of kings and the affairs of men are subject to God's decrees, and that he's able to accomplish his will despite the most determined opposition of the mightiest potentates of the earth. It should be immediately evident to anyone with even a limited knowledge of Hebrew that the Jewish names of these men were each contains a name of God and has a spiritual meaning. Daniel and Mishael both contain the syllable El. Whenever you see the word, a word that has EL in it, especially a Hebrew word, it means God. And in the basis of the frequently appearing plural, like Elohim, Daniel means God is my judge. Mishael means who is like God. The other two names, Hananiah and Azariah, both contained a shortened form of the name of Jehovah. Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious, and Azariah means Jehovah is my helper. The very names of these men were reminders of their heritage and a challenge to them to remain faithful to the Lord. But now, deported into a strange pagan land, their names are changed. And the names they are given all contain a reference to one of the false gods of the ancient Babylonians. And the names they're given give that reference to the Babylonian god, like Aku and Nego. It was a way of saying to these who had been servants of the Jewish god, they are now servants and worshipers of the gods of the pagan pantheon. Yet the change accomplished nothing. Nebuchadnezzar changed the men's names, but he could not change their heart. Let me say that again. Nebuchadnezzar changed the men's names, but he could not change their heart. They remained faithful to the true God of Israel, as the story shows. In a book called Love Comes Softly, the story written by Marty Claridge and Catherine Hagel, a young woman on her way to a new life out west in the 1800s, who suddenly finds herself a widow. On the day her husband is buried, she is approached by, well, Clark Davis, a widower, who proposes marriage. This arrangement gives shelter and provision for Mary for the harsh winter ahead, while she is in exchange provides a motherly influence on Clark's daughter, Missy. Over time, Marty finds that Clark is a man of faith. He reads his Bible and communes with God in prayer. In one scene, Clark stands among the charred remains of his barn that's just been burned to the ground, and Marty hands him a cup of coffee. "What are you going to do?" she asks. Clark answers, "Neighbors have offered to collect some logs and raise a new barn. Ben said he'd take care of the milk cows, feed her in exchange for some milk till I get my feed built back up. I think it's going to be fine. I pretty much got it worked out, just keeping prayer and asking prayer for, you know, praying for answers." "What do you think he'll answer your prayers with?" Marty questioned. "He always answers my prayers." "Really?" Marty responds sharply. "Did you pray for this? Did you pray to have Ellen taken away from you? Did you pray for the little Missy would grow up not knowing her real mother? I just don't understand why the God you pray to would let such unthinkable things happen to decent people." Clark takes Marty by the hand and says, "Come with me." "Where are we going?" she says. "We're going to church," she replies. Clark takes Marty to a place where he has his devotions with God. Clark tries to explain, "Missy could fall down and hurt herself even if I were right there beside her. That doesn't mean I allowed it to happen, but she knows with her father's unconditional love, I'll pick her up, I'll carry her, I'll try to heal her, I'll cry when she cries, I'll rejoice when she is well. In all the moments of my life, God has been right there beside me. The truth of God's love is not that he allows bad things to happen. It's his promise that he'll be there with us when they do." Well, while this movie dialogue expresses a common viewpoint of God's control over events in our world, it does not do justice to what the Bible reveals. Nothing can happen unless God allows it. However, nothing is more true than the reality that God is with us in our suffering. The greatest expression of that is in the cross. Listen to Ephesians 3:20 and 21. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generation, forever and ever. Amen." It's the ending of a powerful, powerful prayer in Ephesians. And I would encourage you to go and look at that passage in Ephesians chapter 3. It's a wonderful verse, and you think about what God is doing in Ephesians. And we're going to be talking about that passage in Ephesians. We're going to be talking about what God is going to do with Daniel in the lion's den. And I think you need to know that God is there. God is working. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. When Paul writes that letter to the Ephesians, he's in prison. He's facing his own death. And he writes a powerful prayer. I'm going to read the whole prayer. And he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from him whose his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And he ends it with that great benediction. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at three little words: God with us, Emmanuel. We're going to spend some time more in the Old Testament, but I think of when I read the Bible every day, I think of what God is doing. I think of how God rescues Daniel. I think of how God rescues Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think of how God rescues each and every one of us. I'm going to talk about, over the next several weeks, some great characters in the Bible. And I want you to know that they're old stories, but they're really our stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, maybe that's where you're at right now. Things are not going well for you. I want you to know that God has not forgotten you, that God is with you. God will never leave you or forsake you. God wants to change your name and give you his name. We're going to talk about Daniel in the lion's den, or David when he faces his Goliath. We all have Goliaths. We all have giants. And we'll all have a giant some way, somehow, this next year. And we'll even look at Elijah and Elisha for some time. And then we'll get into the New Testament, and we'll look at some of the great stories in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to get a Bible. I'll give you a Bible. We'll get you in God's Word. I read each day a chapter in Proverbs, because Proverbs gives me good wisdom, and I read five chapters in Psalms, because Psalms give me heart wisdom. And I try and read a chapter of a New Testament, a gospel story, or one of the letters. Now, I do take a lot of time to read. Maybe you don't have that time to read. You can listen to God's Word while you're driving. God's Word will transform your life. Will you believe Emmanuel, God with us? I want you to know that God is able to do immeasurably far more than we can ask or imagine. That's what the promise is. I want you to start asking God to enter into your life. And if you've never done that, there's no better time than today. You can say, God, I want you to come into my life. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Show me again, once more, that you will never leave me nor forsake me, that you forgive me of all of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Remember, the question is, do you believe it? God with us, Emmanuel. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I pray right now for those that are listening. I don't know what hour it is. I don't know what day it is, but you do. You know where they're at. And it's not by chance they're listening. I pray right now, Lord, there's someone out there that needs to know that God is with them. Manifest your presence in a real and personal way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and know that God is with us. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.